The world needs heroes. The world needs people willing to stand up and be counted, willing to stand against darkness with the light of Christ. The world needs ordinary people to be extraordinary. Last week, we started our Lenten journey by learning how to be a family of heroes. We talked about my favorite comic book characters, the Fantastic Four. And the Fantastic Four and the Apostle Peter last week told us how to live in family. They told us to be pitiful, to have pity for one another, to be patient, to be slow to boil with one another, and to be peaceful, to be the peacemakers, the children of God. This week, we encounter a new question. The world needs heroes, and we must ask ourselves, why would I be that hero? Why would I step up and be that person? Why would I put myself out? Why risk it to be a hero? Because believe me, being a hero is a risk. It will cost you time and energy and resource and money. Being a hero is a risk. So why would even anyone choose to do it? When I was growing up in the 1970s, we watched a TV show on public television called The Electric Company. It's one of my favorite shows. I used to love The Electric Company. It turns out it had a phenomenal cast. Rita Moreno, who had won an Academy Award for West Side Story, was a part of the cast. And also a young man named Morgan Freeman, who had not yet broken out into movies, was in the show as well. I loved the show. Every day after school, it would come on. I'd turn it on, watch it for an hour, The Electric Company. And every week, they had a special segment each week with a live-action Spider-Man. Each week, Spider-Man would fight such villains as The Wall, a man who is literally a wall, or The Can Crusher, a villain who went into local grocery stores and crushed all the canned goods, or the dreaded Mr. Measles. I'll let you decide what he did. Right? It was campy and weird, but I loved it. It was my first introduction to the character of Spider-Man. Now, for those of you who might not know, my picture that I showed the kids, this is Spider-Man. This is actually a reproduction of the original comic that he showed up in, Amazing Fantasy, number 15. I bought this for my daughter's boyfriend. He's a big Spider-Man fan. Me, not so much. I don't have many Spider-Man comics, but he has a lot of them. Spider-Man was a really unique character when they developed him in the 1960s. Number one, he was a teenager. Most superheroes before that tended to be adults. He was a teenager. He was in high school. And he had your typical teenager high school problems, right? The girl that he loved was dating the football jock, and he had to get ready for his tests, and he was being raised by his aunt and his uncle. His parents had died at some previous point. And he had his just regular, everyday person problems. And one day, he's at a science exhibit, and he gets bitten by a radioactive spider. And it gives him superpowers. Of course it does. That's how that always happens in the comics, right? That's what I love about the comics, is that an accident of some kind happens, right? Somebody falls into a vat of toxic waste or gets hit by an explosion of some kind. They gain powers from that accident. I have to tell you, this past week when we had the ice storm on Tuesday, I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed inside my house. So Wednesday, I went out to my car to scrape off the car-shaped ice structure that was now on it. And I was scraping it off, and I got it all scraped off. I got my car started. I got it warming up. And I went to get into my car. I walked around to the driver's side, and my driveway was still slick with ice. I opened the door, and I picked up my right leg to get in, and my left leg went whoosh, and I cracked my head into the side of my car so hard I thought I was going to pass out. I'm laying in the front seat of my car with my eyes, I couldn't even open my eyes, it hurt so bad. I'm holding my head, my three small dogs are leaning over me going, "Are you still going to be able to feed us?" And I thought, I'm going to knock myself out. And really, what I wanted from that interaction, I wanted to have superpowers when I got done. I should get superpowers for having to go through pain like that. Right? When I sat up, I should have been able to move stuff with my mind. Right? But no. No. But Peter Parker, he gets bit by a radioactive spider, and he gains superpowers. All of a sudden, he has the proportional strength and powers of a spider. He's super strong. He can climb on walls and the ceiling. And he has a spidey sense. He can sense when there's danger nearby. When Spider-Man was first introduced into the Marvel Universe, he was a very relatable character. Here was this guy, this regular guy, who kind of falls backwards into having powers. And you know, just like all of us would want to do, when he gets these powers, Peter Parker wants to use them for personal gain. Right? His aunt and uncle are struggling to pay the mortgage. Peter wants to help out. Right? Peter doesn't have a car. He doesn't have a job. He's thinking, surely I can use these superpowers to make some money. Right? Isn't that the first thing we would think about? If I gained superpowers, my first thought would be on all of my problems that I could solve with them. Surely these superpowers could benefit me in some way. But his Uncle Ben, who was kind of the father figure in Peter's life, his Uncle Ben had told him something. It was what I shared with the kids. With great power comes great responsibility. And it is that mantra that has followed Spider-Man. He's been in the movie 7 times. There have been 7 major motion pictures that have featured Spider-Man. And in every single one of them, somewhere, they managed to slip in an allusion to that phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. When you hear it, you're sitting in the movie theater, you're like, oh yeah, great power, great responsibility. There it is. Because that's Spider-Man's thing. Who knew that Uncle Ben was actually quoting from the Gospel of Luke? Who knew? To whom much has been given, much will be required. To whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Luke tells us the same lesson Uncle Ben told to Peter. You have been blessed, now use it. Perhaps nowhere is this better illustrated than in the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is questioned by a man who is trying to justify his own goodness. He asks the question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this story. He says a man was going down the road. He was beaten by robbers. He was left for dead. And a priest comes along. Now, the original hearers of this story surely must have thought the priest was going to be the hero of the story, right? Here there's a guy beaten and bloodied. All of his money's been taken. He's been left for dead in a ditch. Surely the priest is going to be the hero of the story. But the priest walks on by. Then comes the Levite, another worship leader, and he walks on by. And then comes the Samaritan. Now, Jews didn't like Samaritans. They didn't get along. They didn't think very highly of them. So surely the people hearing the story thought the Samaritan was just going to make things worse. He was going to rob the guy again or beat the guy again or finally kill him. But instead, it's the Samaritan who stops and helps the victim in the story. The story illustrates for us 3 types of hearts that we encounter in this world and their response to need. The first hearts that we encounter in the story are the robbers. They're lying in wait for a victim. They are cruel hearts. There is evil in our world. We know this. We know that evil exists. There are cruel hearts in this world, people who are mean and rude and despicable, just plain evil. We have all encountered that type of heart where there is no light and no mercy and no love, just anger and malice and greed and viciousness. Something has happened to harden those hearts to stone, to drive the hope and joy out of them, to make them such dark places. But they do exist, and we do come into contact with them. We see evil in our world. We see it on the news when we hear about parents who lock their kids in cages, when we hear about people who abuse their pets to the point of death, when we hear about two guys get into an argument in a movie theater because one of them's talking too loud, and one of them shoots the other one over the argument. We see it when a kid walks into a school in the middle of a school day and takes 17 lives. In Spider-Man's story, there were cruel hearts as well. His Uncle Ben, his father figure, his most important man in his life, is cruelly taken from him by a thief. For no reason, the thief just kills him. And Spider-Man, Peter Parker, is devastated by this. His heart is broken. His world is destroyed. It's an evil act that reaches into his story and cuts him to the bone. But it also starts him down his path. We know evil. We have seen it. We have felt it. We have experienced it. And we have a call to confront it with the love of Jesus Christ. But the robbers leave the story pretty quickly. The next hearts we encounter in the story are the priest and the Levite. These were religious leaders of the day, right? The priest, that's not messed up in translation. That's a priest. That's somebody who would have led a synagogue at the time. Comes walking down the road and they see this man beaten and bloodied and lying in a ditch, and they choose to go to the other side of the road to pass on the far side because it's not my problem. Right? I've got a busy life. I got a lot of stuff to do. I got to get worship ready for this week. I got to go down to the hospital and visit somebody. I've got to get my sermon written. I've got stuff I need to do. The church needs me to get busy. I just can't. It's just not my problem. Then along comes a Levite. Now, a Levite would have been like a temple worker, like a worship leader, somebody who assisted in the temple. This person's in the temple all day, every day. And they come along, and they see the man lying in the ditch, and they see this carnage and this destruction, and they move to the other side of the road, and they pass by because it's not my problem. The hearers of this story would have been perplexed. These should have been the heroes. These should have been the people that stopped to help. But they walked on by. Not my problem. They had calloused hearts. Far too often we find calloused hearts right here in our midst. It was Jesus' message, don't think you're all heroes simply because you're sitting in church, because some of you are calloused. As he told this story to the young man, this was a young man who went to temple, who followed the rules, who obeyed the law, who was doing everything right, and he was telling him, you might still have a calloused heart. Yeah, you might go to church every week, and you might put money in the offering, and you might say your prayers and read your Bible, but is your heart calloused? Would you walk by on the far side of the road and say, it's not my problem? Too often our hearts become hardened through fear or indifference or through pain or hurt at being gotten one too many times. We just talked about this in the Sunday school class that I'm teaching right now. We talked about that encounter, you know, that person who asked for money and then we see them go spend the money on alcohol or on cigarettes, and we think, well, that's not how you should spend the money. And what we talked about in the class was the onus is on us to be giving, not to be dictatorial. We're called to give faithfully. And that's sometimes a very hard thing to do, and our hearts can get calloused by that. You know, in Spider-Man was hoping to cash in on his new powers, and in a crossover that truly just delights my big nerdy heart, he becomes a pro wrestler. Now, this is awesome. Spider-Man's going to be a pro wrestler. He answers a newspaper ad that says, hey, if you can last 3 rounds with the champ, you can get $3,000. And Peter thinks, that's it. That's the answer to all my prayers right there. $3,000. I can help Aunt May pay the mortgage. We can take care of all of our bills. This is it. So, of course, with his superpowers, you know, he goes in and he beats the champ in the first round. And he goes up to the promoter to get paid, and the promoter gives him $100. And Peter goes, what are you talking about? I beat him. And the guy goes, yeah, you had the last 3 rounds with him. He only lasted one. So you get $100, not $3,000. And Peter says, that's not fair. I need that money. And the promoter says, it's not my problem. Shortly thereafter, the box office is robbed. And as the thief is making his escape, Peter has a chance to stop him. And surely with his superpowers, it'd be easy, right? With one finger, he could knock this guy out and catch the bad guy. But instead, he steps out of the way and just lets the thief get away. And the promoter sees it happen. He says, what are you doing? I saw you in the ring. With your powers, you could have easily stopped him. And Peter says, not my problem. Sometimes our hearts get calloused. Sometimes they get hardened because of our experiences. And when we have the opportunity to help, we don't, because it's not our problem. In a Machiavellian twist, it is that same thief that later kills Peter's Uncle Ben. Peter's heart was hardened because he'd been hurt, he'd been cheated, and when he could have helped, he didn't. He could have been the hero, but it wasn't his problem, and it comes back to haunt him. How many of us have calloused hearts, have hardened our hearts to needs and hurts in this world because we've been hurt or grieved or crossed in some way? But the onus is on us. We are the ones to whom much has been given. God has given us love and hope and forgiveness, salvation and righteousness and peace. So much is given to us that much more is expected, that we would use these things to change our world. But far too often, our hearts are calloused, and we simply slide over to the other side of the road and say, that's not my problem. Finally, in the story, our hero emerges, the Samaritan. The original hearers wouldn't have seen it that way. But lo and behold, the Samaritan has a compassionate heart. He stops and he helps the victim. He takes him to shelter. He pays for his care. He saves him. Peter Parker, faced with the consequences of his callous decision, realizes his uncle's wisdom. With great power comes great responsibility. Peter realized he's been given these powers for a reason. If he can do this superpowered stuff, then he has to do it to help people. The loss of his uncle, rather than further callousing his heart, opens it up to the need and the hurt around him, and the fact that he can do something about it. As God's church, we are called to be those compassionate hearts in our world. Those hearts that see a need and respond, that don't go over to the far side of the road, but say, I can help. Hearts that feed kids who are in food tenuous situations. Hearts that feed people who just need a hot meal in the middle of the week. Hearts that open our doors to people and groups in need of space. Hearts that provide beds for a family in need, or band-aids or socks for kids who are in the hospital. Hearts that send kids to camp in the summer that they might learn about Jesus. We are called to not be the calloused religious leaders of the Good Samaritan story, but to be the unexpectedly compassionate hearts that save the day for someone. There's a great scene in the most recent Spider-Man movie, in Spider-Man Homecoming, where he wants to save the world. He wants to do it all, right? And his mentor tells him, can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? Right? Can't you just... And so there's this little montage where he's just helping people around the neighborhood, right? He catches a guy stealing a bicycle, right? And he walks around going, hey, is this anybody's bike? Hey! He's just trying to... And he helps a lady get directions. When she gets off the bus, she buys him a churro. And he's sitting there eating his churro, right? Just little stuff. Not right? He's not stopping the world from being destroyed. He's helping a little old lady find directions. Oftentimes, when we go out to be the hero, it's not going to be that we save the world. It's going to be that we save the world for someone. That we intersected into someone's life and changed their day. Changed their moment, and that somehow changed their life. Just like that friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, we are called to be the hero. Because with great power comes great responsibility. To us, Jesus says, much has been given. Love and forgiveness and grace. So to us, much is expected. That we would use those amazing gifts to help others, to spread God's word, to further God's kingdom. What gifts have you been blessed with? What spectacular blessings are in your life, and what are you going to do with them? Simply cross by on the far side of the road because it's not my problem? Or will you be the unexpected hero? The small, nerdy teenager with a truckload of his own problems who chooses to be the hero anyway.